Good morning, LifePoint. Thanks so much for joining our online community today as we wrap up this series that we've been calling Under the Hood. The big idea for the series is that change is hard, but Jesus is able. And we've been talking about how in these days, situations where we feel like life is changing so fast, these periods of unprecedented disruption in our lives, that God wants to do some good internal work. We're not just trying to fix our external circumstances and say, well, if they would get this right, or if they would do this, or they would change this, the world would be great. It's not cosmetic change on the outside that we're looking for as much as we're looking for internal work that God is doing in us. I'll just give you a commercial. So as we wrap up this series, next Sunday, we start what for a lot of us is our favorite series of the year called Now Playing. It's going to look a little different, but we're still going to have the opportunity for you to come on Sundays, grab something to drink out of one of the coolers. We'll have candy that'll be available. It'll look a little bit different than in normal years, but I pray that you'll take the opportunity to invite somebody, bring a friend, bring a family member, and come and join us as we start that series the following week. Where Paul starts us off today, as we wrap up 2 Corinthians 5, is really one of the high points, one of the pinnacles of not only theology, but just of God's word in the New Testament. So we'll start now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, as Paul talks to us about how to change. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. You know, there in that verse where it says the old has passed away, that's cemetery language. That's death language. As a matter of fact, the original word there, the original language there is the word arxes. It's where we get our word for archaic. So what Paul says is, behold, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, and everything that's old about you, it's archaic. The new in you is so new that it makes the old in you seem archaic. Now, the reason Paul is making such a big deal out of this point is because you know it, I know it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're Christian, non-Christian. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about church and the Bible or whether you're watching Judge Judy or Dr. Phil. We all know that humans are broken. We all know that people hurt people. Where we disagree is the why. Why do people hurt people? If you go sit down in a university philosophy class, one of our major schools, what they're going to say is, we know one of the problems in the world today is religion. And religion divides people, and it causes people to give allegiance to a God that they're trying to please. So they try and do all these good things, these good works to earn the approval of their God. And so out of that, what happens is that causes wars and it causes fights. And part of the problem and the reason that people hurt people is religion. And quite frankly, to be honest, I kind of agree with that. That's why the Bible so adamantly opposes religion. What the Bible advocates is that a relationship with God changes us where religion can never do it. So we're broken, but there's something inside of us. I think the reason Paul makes a big deal about this is there's something inside of us that wants to hold onto the old. Why is that? Why is it that you and I find ways to take credit for all the good things that happen in the world, and we blame God for all the bad things that happen? There's 100,000 plus airplane flights around the world take off and land every day. Six figures. And do we ever get to the end of a day and you ever turn on the 6 o'clock news or you get on your favorite news app? Do you ever hear anybody say, God, thank you that we didn't have any plane crashes anywhere in the world today? You ever hear anybody say that? No. But you let one of those planes crash, one of those planes struggle, right? And what's the first thing you hear? If there's a God, how could something like this happen? It is inherent in you and me to take credit for the good, to pat ourselves back, to promote ourselves for the good, but to blame God, to blame the Creator for all the things that we think are bad. There's something inside of us that wants to hold onto the old, where we promote ourselves as the heroes, right? We're the champion of all of our stories, instead of looking to God and being grateful and not living entitled lives. I've got a friend who, when he got married, his fiance, who became his wife, she had a dog, miniature schnauzer named Chip. right? So when they get married, my friend's not anti-dog at all. He could take or leave Chip, right? Chip's great. But his wife, to-be at the time, every month Chip got a haircut. Every month, Chip got his nails trimmed. He got his nails done. It cost $45 a month to have the dog groomed. So my friend said, you know, heading into the marriage, heading into the relationship, he looked at his wife and he said, look, I love Chip. You love Chip. I'm great that we've got Chip. We're not spending $45 a month to get Chip's haircut, right? We don't spend $45 a month to get my haircut. Chip doesn't get a stylist if I don't get a stylist. We're not doing Chip's nails every month. We don't do my nails every month. So we're not doing Chip's nails every month. So they get married. And you know what happened. Every month, Chip got a haircut, $45. Every month, Chip got his nails done, right? And it was a little bit of a sore spot, but that's the way that it happened. That's the way that it worked out. So after about a year and a half of being married, my friend and his wife, they have their first child, beautiful baby girl named Bella. And they bring Bella home, and they're getting to know her. Obviously, Bella's growing, and over about 6-7 weeks, my friend, he's sitting in the living room one day with Bella. She's just starting to laugh and smile and coo. And Bella needed her diaper changed, so he's changing her diaper. About that time, here comes the miniature schnauzer. Here comes Chip. Chip walks by Bella, and he just pees all over Bella's face, right? I mean, the beautiful infant first daughter. And my friend's first reaction, right? He steps up, he jumps up, and the first reaction he did was he punted Chip across the room. Like Chip is airplane, he's helicopter spinning around the room. Now look, my friend's not a dog kicker, right? He's not like a violent person, but it's his baby daughter. And the first thing, his initial reaction, right, was to get Chip away from Bella, to get Chip away from his daughter. And he said, you know, all I could think of later on in that moment is Chip. I spend $45 a month to cut your hair. I get your nails done every month. I feed you. I clothe you. I pet you. I house you. I shelter you. I give you time and love and attention. And you come and hydro spray on my first beautiful daughter's face. He said, all I could think of is, I wonder if God ever looks at me. And I thought about this from my personal, I wonder if God ever looks at me and says, Dean, I give you everything. I house you, I clothe you, I feed you, I provide for all of your needs, and you take credit for all the good things in your life and blame me for all the bad things? All you give me is, God, if you would fix this, if you would change this person, if you would alter my kids in some way, if you would help my wife to be different in this way, that's what you give me? There's something inside of you, there's something inside of me that wants to hold onto the old. But the good news is that Paul says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And the new in you is so new that the old in you is archaic. How does that work? What does that look like? Look at the next verse. Verse 18. He says this. All of this change, all of this movement, all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what Paul says, all of it is from God, right? All of this salvation, this change, all of it's from God. All of this new, old switch, all of it's from God. Because what God did was in the person of Christ, God leaving heaven in the person of Jesus, coming to earth, dying for our sins on the cross, showing us the way to live, gives us a way to God, that in Christ, what God was doing was reconciling us to himself. Now, reconcile is kind of an old English word. It's an accounting term. So what you do is I hate to even use the language checkbook, right? There's so many people who don't even know what a checkbook is anymore, and I get it. We used to reconcile your checkbook at the end of every month, right? So you've got numbers at the beginning of the month, you got numbers at the end of the month, and they're different. And what you have to do is you have to bring those two different numbers and make them the same. So that's kind of how we talk about this spiritual, this theological concept of reconciliation. However, the word alasso actually means to change, to make different. So let's read that verse differently. All this is from God, that God was in Christ, in the person of Jesus, doing what? Changing you And then what he does is he gives you the ministry of change. So he makes you different, and then he gives you the ministry to be involved in the process of helping other people become different. Now, I'm going to go 100% Nerdsville, right? Right now, don't let your eyes roll back in your head. It's going to be tough for you. Stick with me for a couple of minutes. That verb, when it says that God reconciled us to the person of Christ, it's in what's called the pluperfect tense. Listen, you can just drop that on your friends this week at the office, right? Whenever you're meeting in Zoom online, you know what the pluperfect tense is. Sometimes pastors get excited about verbs and tenses and we get all nerdy about it, but this one's important. Because we always talk about like things that happen in the past with continuing results into the future. That's present perfect. That's what we talk about in our language. This pluperfect idea doesn't even exist because it talks about stuff that's going on right now that has ramifications into the past. Well, that's not that exciting, right? But it is when you think about this idea of reconciliation. That right now, God is changing you into this new creation in Christ. And that has ramifications, not just to take you forwards, but to take you backwards. Well, how do they take you backwards? Because the old, I just said, the old in you is so old that it's archaic. God doesn't want to take you back to the old you. And he doesn't. He wants to take you back past the old you. He wants to take you back past the even the writers and what you read in Scripture. What is he doing? He's taking you back, all the way back to this Eden-like existence. So that what God does in the person of Christ is that he brings you to himself. Why does he bring you to himself? Because he loves you. Not just because he loves you, but because he likes you. That he wants to take you back to that Garden of Eden-like relationship existence where God walks with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening in the garden. That what God is not looking for you, for from you, is more religion, is more rules to follow, is more ways that you can try and impress him. Rather, that you and I would walk with him to the degree that we spend enough time with him, not that he would be impressed with us, but that we, rather, would be impressed with him. And out of that, that we would develop relationship, right? Where we trust him, where we lean in, where we believe at our core, at our identity, that he not only loves us, that he likes us, that he wants to be with us. He has reconciled us to himself. So the fact that he's changing us takes us backwards to this reality that he wants us to know him. That God was doing that in the person of Christ. I was thinking about it from this perspective. Think about college sports right now. You know, it used to be that whenever you signed to play sports in college with a certain school, that you played for that certain school until you were done playing. And if you decided you didn't want to play, right, you were just kind of finished up. You were kind of finished playing. That has changed because a couple of years ago, the NCAA instituted what they call the transfer portal. It allows college athletes to make a one-time transfer under almost any circumstance from one school to another school. Maybe one of the most obvious examples in Central Ohio of this is Ohio State's quarterback, Justin Fields, right? One of the top-ranked quarterbacks coming out of high school. He's from the southeastern United States, so he makes the biggest mistake in terms of a decision in his life when he signs to play with the University of Georgia in the Southeastern Conference. Huge mistake, right? He plays one season at Georgia, gets to the end of that season, and he decides, you know what? I made the wrong decision. So he puts himself in this thing called the transfer portal in the NCAA, and then he makes one of the best decisions he could ever make when he decides, right, to become a player on the team at the Ohio State University. So through this portal, he goes from this one, the Kingdom of Georgia, right, to the Kingdom of Ohio State. What God has done in the person of Christ is that he has opened up to us the transfer portal, right? Where you and I live this life where we made some of the worst decisions we could ever make. We make them years ago and yesterday. These are the things that are our greatest regrets, the things that haunt us late at night, right before we go to sleep, that come to the front of our minds, the things that we wish we could undo. But that's okay. Because God in the person of Christ came to the world and he opened up a door. He opened up a way. If I can say it to you this way, he opened up a portal where you and I could go from old, old, old to God saying, no, 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 all things now are new. And you and I could be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We could take off our old jersey from the old team where I played for, where I was the only player and I was the coach and I was the quarterback and I'm the one who took all the credit for everything that went well. and I blamed everybody else in my life for everything that went wrong. And I could take that jersey off and I could be transferred to a new team, to a new kingdom where there's only one ruler, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I could be transferred into the kingdom of his marvelous Son. And because of that, my new identity, this new life that I have in Christ, means that I also have a new mission and a new purpose. What does that look like? Here's what Paul says in verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not just me to himself, but the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Thank God he doesn't hold my sins against me, your sins against you. He doesn't, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message, the word of reconciliation. Therefore what? Therefore we are ambassadors or representatives of Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you in behalf of Christ, then do what? Be reconciled to God. So because I have changed teams, because my identity is new and different, I implore others to make this same change. For our sake, he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us. So what? So why would he do that? So that we might in him become the righteousness of God. We say it around our church sometimes that persuaded people persuade people. So the question is, how persuaded are we? I'll ask you today, how persuaded are you that God's way of living is the best way to live? That's really what we need at our core. It takes somebody who's seen a top 10 movie in their lifetime. You know, when you see a great movie, you can't shut somebody up. You don't have to talk them into talking about it. You can't make them be quiet. You can't get away from them fast enough because all they want to talk about is this great movie. Take somebody who's been to a restaurant for the first time and they had something fantastic off the menu. They're just going to talk about it. You don't have to talk them into talking about it. They're a walking billboard for this new restaurant. See, it's not that a new movie is so great or a new restaurant is so great, but what we're saying is that in Christ, you have been made new, and God is so great that I shouldn't have to talk you into. Somebody else, a pastor, shouldn't have to talk you into talking about him. He's the greatest thing in our lives. The question is, are we leaning into him, trusting him, actively offering our lives to him enough to the degree that he becomes the thing about our lives that is so incredibly great? Because if it does, it changes the way you look at things. You know, at our church, we're getting ready to come up on year number 3. We put out a daily podcast every day, 5 days a week, called the LifePoint Drivecast. It helps people begin their day by hearing the word and praying every day. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into putting out a Drivecast, a podcast on a daily basis every day. I was just thinking about this the other day for 3 years. Why would we do that? I thought about a couple of years ago, we got 30 people, families, couples together at our church, and we wrote a book together. We talked about marriage, we talked about parenting, we talked about discipleship, we talked about suffering. In all these chapters, 30 people shared their stories of God's activity in their lives. And there's a lot of work that goes into publishing a book, to writing it, to creating a cover, to distribution, to channels, all those kinds of things that you have to work your way through. Why would we do that? Now, I was thinking this week, we're announcing, sharing with our church body at large that Paul Pretty, he's actually spoke at our church a few weeks ago, that Paul and Maddie, who are serving at our Delaware campus, are going to be leaving our Delaware campus, and they're going to be planting our next LifePoint church in the community of Marion. We're hoping, praying that we'll send 75 or 100 people with them from our Delaware campus that they're going to be taking up to Marion and planting a new church up there. So what does that mean? That means, man, 75 to 100 people leaving our Delaware campus means that we've got to train new volunteers, that we need people to step up into leadership and fill all those roles of the people who are going, who are mission-minded about reaching the people in Marion. That's a lot of time and energy. Why would we do that? Why would we send all those people and send some of the best team members that we have? Why would we do that? Because we are thoroughly convinced that God is so great that if we can just get people to him, that he will take people who have lots and lots of old and lots of decisions that they regret, and lots of guilt that they live with. And if we can just get them to him in a daily drive cast, if we can just get them to him through the ministry of a book, if we can just get them to him through planting a church in a different community that's located closer to them where they live, that he is so great that he will make all things new. So God has handed us. So how does this make a difference in you, in your life every day? Well, coming up this week, there's probably going to be a moment where you hear this voice in your head say, your spouse is taking advantage of you. They're not listening to you. They're not meeting your needs. There's going to come a moment where you have to make a choice, where you say to the voice of accusation, no, that's old. I'm new. There's going to come a moment this week where a decision that you've made that you regret, right? That there's going to come another opportunity, and you could cover that up. You could lie about that at work. You could lie about that to your friends. You could gossip to someone else. And the moment those words are about to come out of your life, you know what you can do? You can say, no. That's old. I'm new. There's going to come a moment this week when you fail, when you sin, or your brokenness surfaces in your life, and you're going to hear the voice of accusation in your head say, you call yourself a Christian? You think God could love somebody? Like, and you have to stop, and you have to say, no. That's old. I'm new. God is changing me in the present, moving me back to history past, where he and I walked together to the degree that he is my heavenly Father, and he proved it in the person of Christ, that I've trusted on the cross to deposit the Holy Spirit in me so that God can do in me what I can't do in me. He can change me. That he can make me new. And in the midst of a world that's changing at a rate, giving us a level of disruption that is, when we've said, is unprecedented, yes, change is hard. But praise be to God that Jesus is able. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the ways that you shine your light and your glory in and around us, to the degree that, God, we understand from the lives of Scripture, from the lives of people throughout history, from people, God, that we know that we walk alongside every day, that we have been made new. God, I pray that you will help us to walk and live in newness, to not hold onto the old, but, God, to live in this reconciled reality that you are both working out in us and that you have given to us in the person of Christ. And God, it is our sincere promise that because we've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your Son, that God, we want to live in such a way where you get the credit and you get the glory, and God, everyone sees that you're the hero and not us. That God, we live lives of gratitude for what has been given to us and for what we get to be part of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, if today you want to take that step of becoming new, maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, and today is your day, you want to put a marker in the ground and you say, you know what, today I want to be new. We would love to help you in making that decision, and not just in the knowledge of making that decision, but we've actually created some resources for you. On whatever platform that you're watching today, there's a button there that says Next Steps. If you'll click on that button, then there's another opportunity there to click on a button that says Today, I accepted Christ. If you'll click on that button, if that happened today or any time recently, it'll take you less than a minute to fill out that card. Number one, we'll send you a book that we've written for you called Your Next 30 Days that will help you take the next steps and to know, okay, I've made this decision. Where do I go from here? Secondly, we want to be able to pray with you throughout these next coming days as you begin this new relationship with Christ as well. If you're listening today and you have a prayer request that you would like to share with us, you can do that via that Next Steps button as well. If you're our guest today, we're so grateful that you've taken the opportunity to be with us and share in part of our online community. We would love to know about that. There's a guest info button on whatever platform it is that you're watching. If you'll click on that button or link, take less than a minute, fill out that guest info card. There are five different ministries there. You can choose one of those five ministries. Whichever one you choose, we'll make a $5 donation to that ministry in your honor so that you can do good just by being with us today, and we can bless others in your honor and in your name. For those of you who are regular attenders and members, as always, we are so grateful for your generosity and how you share your resources with us. And I would just say a special word of thanks to you as we've kind of reconciled the books on 2020 now that we are into 2021. A special word of thanks to you, because in a year where everything seemed upside down and topsy-turvy, as we got to the end of the year, one of the things that we were able to note is that we actually, the members of the body at LifePoint, we actually were able to meet our budget this past year. And that's in the middle of Westerville getting a new building. That's in the middle of our Lewis Center campus building a new facility. Unbelievable transitions, people going through job loss. You were so incredibly faithful and generous. And I just want to say, as your pastor, how grateful I am, and to encourage you that the best days are in front of us. The work, I believe the best work of our church is in front of us. And so if you'd like to give your tithes and offerings today, there's a button there that says online giving that you can click on that platform as you partner with us to reach people both locally and globally. As you go out this week, I pray, it's my prayer, that you will live new. And in light of that, one of the members of our worship team is going to come and is going to lead us in a song as we worship our way out today towards living in the newness of Christ.